Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, and I'm with him.
Hey, Doug, it's great to have you in studio. A lot in the news. The New York Times, Oprah Magazine, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, the world has gone bananas.
It has gone bananas, but a shocker.
Yeah.
In the Columbine murders, one of the murderer's mothers has now published an article in Oprah's magazine. We need to talk a bit about that.
O Magazine. Yeah, that's Oprah's magazine.
And, you know, for the first time in the history of the Oprah show, do you remember? They filmed a Columbine 10-year anniversary show.
I remember that.
And a producer called Brian Rohrbaugh to talk about the show.
Right.
And Brian then exposed what was immoral about the entire program. They actually pulled the show.
Yeah, it never aired.
First time in history, they pulled a fully produced Oprah show. And they said, of course, we pulled it because on second thought, we focused too much on the murderers.
Right.
That wasn't why they pulled it.
No.
No.
They pulled it because it was full of misleading.
Misleading. They made the bad guys into the good guys.
Yeah.
And the bad guys who covered up and told the lies.
The bad guys meaning the school officials.
The school and the sheriff's department that should have known, should have exposed, should have, and then they lied about it afterward, and they made them into the heroes.
And now, which of the murderer's mothers is breaking her silence in O Magazine?
This is Susan Klebold.
Susan Klebold.
Yeah. So and Channel 4 has interviewed Brian Rohrbaugh, and I'm hoping tonight to tune in to Channel 4.
Interesting.
To see what's going on. But
short segment on one of the local news networks last night.
Yeah, she said in the New York Times a while back, she said someone came up to her and said, "I forgive you." And she said, "I didn't do anything that you need to forgive me for."
Mm. Wow.
That's pretty intense.
That's denial.
And I remember with the evidence that came out, that this one of these two murderers, Dylan Klebold, I remember his room was filled with alcohol.
Is that right?
Yeah, and the parents don't know?
Well, maybe they never go into his room.
I mean, even the refrigerator was filled with alcohol.
He had a refrigerator in the house?
In his bedroom.
Oh, he had a fridge in his bedroom full of alcohol?
The empty bottles of alcohol, the filled bottles of alcohol in the refrigerator.
Well, I have a feeling that maybe she was intimidated and she didn't go into his room. His room was his space, and she allowed that to happen.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, this article is interesting, and hopefully more of the story of all the warning signs that were there for the school district and the sheriff's department, the neon signs, hopefully that'll get out further.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oprah. Yeah. By the way, the number to call if you want to be on the program is 1-800-836-9278. If you have anything you would like to talk about. Bob, the New York Times, I must say, this is the first time I've been shocked by anything at the New York Times. Mm. In years.
Mm-hmm.
You know that the media's best, their best strategy against the pro-life movement is to ignore us.
To ignore us.
Yeah, that's their most effective strategy, because if the mainstream media doesn't get the stories out there about what's happening in the personhood movement and about what's happened in the pro-life movement over the past 20 years,
people tend to ignore it.
People don't know. And so they've effectively ignored us for many years.
Well, Doug, it's like recently a pro-lifer said to me, well, if the rescue movement was so important, why was it so small?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so small, the civil rights movement, remember that? The civil rights movement?
I remember that.
Had 10,000 arrests, civil disobedience, peaceful arrests.
Right.
The rescue movement had 50,000 arrests of grandparents, parents, kids, from all over the country, 50,000. It dwarfed the civil rights movement in many respects.
But not in media coverage. Not in media coverage, and that can make a big difference.
And perception, people think, oh, the rescue movement was small.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even pro-lifers.
So to see the October 9th issue of the New York Times with the story.
That's this weekend.
Yeah. The I forget what day October 9th would
Friday.
Have been. Yeah, the Friday issue. With a story regarding the pro-life movement on the front page of the New York Times was stunning
front
to me.
Page. Yeah. It is stunning.
Yeah.
And the photographs that they used are stunning.
And that the story was about the photographs. And the reason the story ran is really goes right back to the martyrdom of Jim Pulliam. A reporter was wanted to know what was the origin of the picture
that
Jim was holding.
The photo. Now, the one picture was of that beautiful little boy who's Matt Truella's son.
One side of the sign had Matt Truella's son on
it. It just says life. Right. What's his son's name? Jeremy? It was little Jeremy.
Right. But the other picture.
The other picture.
On the other side.
Yeah.
Malachi.
Malachi.
That's what the reporter wanted. And Malachi is probably the most famous
picture of a
widely
murdered
disseminated
child.
Right. Picture of a murdered child. And this New York Times reporter wanted to know.
Yeah.
Where did these pictures come from? So because a lot of people say that they're not real. I had someone at the abortion clinic this past Saturday tell me that those pictures are not real.
So, right. And they could talk to Flip Benham to see how real they are. You know, and you know what I, Doug, what did you tell? I could tell you what I tell people who say, like we're on the 16th Street Mall, downtown Denver.
Yeah.
People are having lunch in the outside cafes and all.
Right.
And we're walking down the mall with these huge signs over our heads.
Yeah.
And we are saying something unusual for pro-lifers. We're saying pro-choice, pro-choice, know your pro-choice rights. That's all we're saying.
Oh, yeah.
Pro-choice, know your pro-choice rights and pictures of murdered children.
Right.
And because we want people to see what pro-choice means. It means that they murder children.
These are your right. Your right to do this. Look,
right.
Look at this picture.
Yeah. And so, you know, some people are angry. Some pro-lifers are thankful. Some pro-aborts are just as dumb as rocks. And they say things like, hey, man, I'm pro-choice too, but can't you get a better sign? They're just so stupid. It's unbelievable.
You need to turn a light on.
It's unbelievable. Know your pro-choice rights. Well, some people say that's not true. Those pictures are not of aborted children. That's not from an abortion clinic. All this stuff. So I say, you know what? You're right. We're lying. These kids were killed in drunk driving accidents. Just go home and sleep like a baby tonight.
Wow.
You're absolutely right. We're all lying. All these pictures are frauds.
Mm.
So just ignore it because you're right. And nowhere in America would they do this to an unborn child. Nowhere.
Wow.
That's what I tell them.
And some of them are too dumb to understand the sarcasm, I'm sure.
Well, and even if they don't, you know, the Bible has plenty of examples where, hey, you're evil, be evil.
Yeah.
You want to be evil, go ahead and be evil.
Mm. Well, I on Saturday, I told this person, well, I asked this person about, because there are several photographs, a number of different photographs, and some are different methods of abortion because some of the babies are burned to death.
Right. Saline abortions.
And then other babies are ripped limb from limb and their body parts are just torn
suction
apart.
Aspiration
so
abortions.
So I asked the person, I said, well, do you know what happens in an abortion? Do you know how many different types of abortion there are?
Hmm.
Because I wanted to go through each photo.
Yeah.
And the person said something, an expletive, and then they drove away.
Oh.
They didn't want to discuss the finer points of abortion. They just wanted to let me know they were pro-choice, but they didn't want to get into the details.
Those pictures are not real, and if they are, I don't want to know about it.
That's basically the extent of the conversation that we had.
So I said, look, these pictures, it's all a fraud. These are kids killed in drunk driving accidents.
Right.
Well, if they're drunk driving, they're not accidents, they're crashes. These kids are killed in drunk driving crashes, so don't worry. The whole pro-life movement is just making it up because, and Doug, even in their denial, they're admitting we're right. Because they're admitting that that is too horrific. That would not happen in America.
Right.
That's what they're admitting.
Yeah.
So even in their denial, they are admitting that they support the murder of innocent children.
Yeah. Well, the New York Times got into where do these photos come from? They talked to Monica Miller.
Monica Miller.
Monica Miller took most of the photos that that we see on the picket line. Mm-hmm. Now, she did not take the picture of Malachi.
Malachi, for that, we got to go to our dear friend Flip Benham.
Now, the New York Times reporter here,
yeah,
who, by the way, at least the gist of the article to me tells me that this reporter is convinced that what this woman is saying is true. These are actual pictures of actual aborted babies that were taken from clinics.
Right.
A lot of times found outside in the trash bins outside of clinics.
Yeah.
So the New York Times reporter is no friend of ours.
I've been knee deep in blood from abortion clinics, personally, myself.
Really?
Going through their trash, dumpsters of trash, going through and looking for whatever could be used to try to stop the killing of children. And it's disgusting. And even out of Planned Parenthood. You know, they're so sophisticated and all.
Yeah, yeah.
Even out of Planned Parenthood. And when we would go through a dumpster of an abortion clinic, we're talking bag by bag, transferring the contents of each bag, item by item, glop of medical waste by glop of medical waste, from one bag to another, so you can go through everything, get all the incriminating evidence you can, and then return the trash. You return the trash to the same dumpster so you can do it again next week.
And that's hardcore.
Yeah.
So you didn't want them to know you were going through their trash.
No, because then they'd pay more money and hide the trash.
That's one thing they don't have a shortage of is money.
They don't have a shortage of money. And by the way, that's how we found out they were having... Never mind.
No, you don't want to... Okay.
I won't reveal that source. That's
okay. Well, this reporter is obviously not a friend of the pro-life movement. He basically cross-examines Flip Benham in an interview about the origins of Malachi. That most famous picture. Right. And apparently Flip was engaged in what the reporter refers to as retrieval missions. Now, I'm not familiar.
Well,
I wasn't active back in the day.
Most of the rescues were designed to stop children from being murdered at that moment, at that day and that time, at that abortion
That point. I'm familiar with. The whole laying down, chaining yourself, tying
chaining
yourself
ourselves.
Up. Yeah.
When we get arrested and the police are filling buses to take people away from the abortion clinic, so we would go crawl under the buses.
Wow.
So the bus couldn't be moved away from the abortion clinic, and then the bus becomes part of the rescue. And the police are just beside themselves with what to do. But a retrieval mission, that's when you're going into the abortion clinic to get the evidence of the genocide being committed there.
Wow. And Flip and some ladies, one lady he names Ms. Mackey, they went into the clinic and they took the frozen...
Now, wait a minute. Is this the Flip Benham who baptized Norma McCorvey, who's Jane Roe of Roe v. Wade?
That same Flip Benham.
Is this the Flip Benham who runs Operation Rescue National, Operation Save America?
That's Flip Benham.
Is this the Flip Benham who's in the Focus on the Strategy 2 blockbuster DVD?
That very same man.
The Flip Benham who promotes personhood all over the country?
Yeah, that's Flip.
He's got guts, Doug.
He's the real deal.
He's got guts. Reminds me of Alan Keyes running onto Planned Parenthood's property when he was here in Denver. So what did Flip Benham do at a retrieval mission? Was this the one in Dallas?
This is the one at an OBGYN clinic in Dallas that performed abortions. They took a jar with a number of aborted fetuses in it. And he took the jar, and then the pictures were taken a month later. So the reporter's like, hey, what's the discrepancy? And Flip said, oh, well, I was in jail for another retrieval mission. I happened to be in jail for a month, which I'm sure was not uncommon for Flip back in this time period in his career.
No,
it spent a good bit of time in jail.
It wasn't uncommon for anybody who was pro-life on the front lines at that time.
So Flip and Ms. Mackey took the babies, the murdered babies, to a doctor, and the doctor put the parts together, and they took the photographs that have now called Malachi. And the reporter here is really cross-examining Flip.
Yeah.
He's saying, well, how did you know that you had the right parts of the right baby? And so Flip acquits himself well. It was obvious.
They do this with Lucy. They dig up some monkey bones.
One
and they
fragment.
Get them from 1,000 feet apart,
right.
And they regrind the hip to make it look like she walked upright.
And they got the missing link.
They ignore the inner ear, and they put them all together. They take one tooth, and they build an entire species of pre-Homo sapiens. It's a pig. And they say to us, you got a baby out of a jar. How'd you know it was a baby?
That's right. And the New York Times.
How did you know it was a baby? They thought it was pig's feet.
They'll swallow Lucy whole, but they'll strain out Malachi, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's really, anyway, but the reporter, Bob, I have one question.
Yeah.
The New York Times is not our friend. The New York Times hates us.
No.
Why?
Yeah, you're right. They're not our friend.
Why did this story make it onto the front page of the New York Times?
It is confusing.
It defies explanation. I did not believe it.
Doug, we are seeing this. We are seeing extended articles that stun us, and they're timed with the personhood movement all over the country in local, regional, and national media outlets. I mean, Time Magazine doing a significant article about the launch of American Right to Life.
Yeah.
And our anti-regulation and pro-personhood strategy.
Right. The new strategy, the personhood strategy.
Come on. Why does Time Magazine do this?
You know, I'm not a superstitious person.
Yeah.
I'm not superstitious in any way, but I do feel there are spiritual forces at work that,
there's a movement, and it's a movement of God
that's
to promote the personhood and the God-given right to life of the unborn. On Wednesday, in studio, Lord willing, we're going to have the vice president of American Right to Life, Steve Curtis.
All right.
And we'll talk, of course, about his upcoming Life Commercials Banquet a week from Saturday.
Yeah.
But, Doug, Steve Curtis and Brian Rohrbaugh, they're the dynamic duo, as far as I'm concerned. Just spoke in Kansas on the whole personhood strategy, and I'd like to go right now to the phones. Steve Curtis, you're on with Doug McBurney and Bob Enyart.
Hey, gentlemen, how are you today?
Very good, Steve.
Well, Brian and I went down on Saturday and spoke to the Right to Life of Kansas convention and had a wonderful time. You talk about something that breathes life not only into a meeting, but into an entire movement, and that's the personhood idea going into people that have been, you know, for years and years working on regulations, or in the case of Saturday's group, fighting those that wanted to regulate but not end abortion.
Right. So we're
giving them some ideas and some strategies,
right,
and arguments to, you know, better clarify the reasoning, and you just see the light bulbs go on. You see the excitement and the anticipation of, you know, someday actually having a real victory in this fight come back into the eyes, and it's just a wonderful experience to share the message of personhood, you know, with people who have, you know, the heart for the unborn, but have always lacked the strategy and, you know, a structure, a group behind them, and somebody that'll side by side, shoulder to shoulder with them, and actually fight the battle.
Hey, Steve, our children, Cheryl and I, we have seven boys, but the three youngest, Zachary, Michael, and Dominic, they asked us about 2 weeks ago, they said, can we go to Steve's banquet this year?
Really?
Yeah, they said. And
because our kids, Bob,
hey,
doing
Steve,
a wonderful job.
Thank you, Steve. Our kids, they've been to banquets, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah.
And they absolutely love and are moved. And they're ages 8, 10, and 12. Doug,
they're going to love this year, too, because, you know, last year we had Darren Streblow, the Christian comedian, come in.
Right.
We had such a wonderful response to that we're bringing him back again this year.
Well, he is absolutely extraordinary.
Yeah.
And, of course, they love him. And they love – our kids love being involved with functions that you would think, Doug, is just for adults.
Yeah.
They love it. They understand. They are aware. They're educated. And they're passionate. They're involved.
Mm. You know, kids don't realize what can't be done. And so they just see the battle, and they've been told about the battle, and they're eager for it.
They're eager for it. So, Steve, we purchased a table. I don't know if you know that, but we purchased a table, the Enyart family, and the table seat, what, 10 people?
10 people. The cost is the same as last year, $55 a person, $550 for a table. And it's going to get, you know, Tony Funderburk is going to do entertainment for us this year. We got Darren Streblow coming in. Brian Rohrbaugh and I are speaking together, doing a talk we call The Crimes of the Century, based on what he knows and the conclusions he's drawn coming out of the Columbine Massacre. Of course, I'll be talking about the subject of our new book, 10 Minutes Till Midnight, The author of the book, Lee Martin, will be there to do a book signing. Mm. It's going to be a wonderful evening. We've got an awful lot going on.
And that's going to be Saturday, October 24th at 6 o'clock, am I correct?
At 6 o'clock, and just a reminder, didn't put this on the invitation this year to everyone. When we say 6 o'clock, we mean be in your seat, ready to pray and eat it.
I like that.
So right. it's not this coming Saturday, but next Saturday, the 24th at 6 o'clock, people can go to lifecommercials.com, and you can register right there.
Yep, right on the front page there. Just look for the banquet reservation link, and that'll take you right to that. You can register and pay online if you want to, and look forward to seeing everybody a week from Saturday.
So that's lifecommercials.com. If you're listening online, go there now. If you're driving your car, wait till you get home, but go to lifecommercials.com. Register for the banquet Saturday, October 24th.
Steve, is that the best way? Are there other ways to register? Is that the best way to register, lifecommercials.com?
Well, that certainly is the best way to register.
Oh, and you know what I realized, Steve, when I was there, if you can't make it to the banquet, you can make a donation right there at lifecommercials.com.
Right.
Well, and several people have done that, yourself included, Doug, well, and we do appreciate that.
And I encourage other people to do the same. You know, Life Commercials actually, it redirects women who are seeking abortion information. It redirects them to crisis pregnancy
information. At the last moment, because as they're searching
phenomenal
to figure
idea.
Out how to get an abortion, where to get an abortion, how to do a chemical abortion, they search. They come to lifecommercials.com because of a brilliant outreach put together by Steve Curtis.
Yeah.
And they come to Life Commercials and they end up at the option line where 24 hours a day there's a live person to talk to this woman who's in a crisis. And many of those women, they are saved. Their children are saved.
Mm. And you know, Steve, Bob and I have been talking about the front lines of this battle, going out to the clinics and trying to prevent women right at the gates of the clinic. You know, that's work that's not, most people aren't cut out for that kind of work. But by supporting a ministry like Life Commercials, you can do your part in this important battle. So I encourage people.
You know, what we're trying to do at Life Commercials is redirect them before they ever get to the clinic.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, I'd love the day when, you know, Joe Scott was, you know, standing out there with her ladder and her signs and all her friends, and they were doing nothing but standing around drinking coffee because nobody was coming.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely right. So that,
amen, brother.
That day is coming, and there is a vision to end the decriminalized child killing in our country and then around the world. Then around the world. The goal wasn't to end slavery just in America.
That's right, around the whole world. So, Steve, thank you. God bless you for the work you do, folks. Lifecommercials.com. Go there, register for the banquet. You can make a donation if like me, you're going to be otherwise engaged that night. Unfortunately, I'll be otherwise engaged.
Yeah,
so I made a donation.
If you can't be there, please make a donation.
Yeah.
Steve, thank you for that. I can't wait for Steve to come in studio on Wednesday. We're going to be talking about the Sunday Denver Post, Doug, where the Colorado Republican Party, Steve is the former chairman of the Colorado Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
They've now said, basically, they're going to shelve family values.
Shelve family values.
They're going to set aside family values and go after the vote-getters.
The vote-getters.
Yeah, the issues. So they, you know, we've been saying this for so many years on the air, but finally they're coming out of the closet.
I thought the Colorado Republican Party was basically destroyed in the last election. How could anyone worked on that election still have a job?
Bob Inyart Live was 20 years ahead of our time, telling our audience this is where they're, because we went into the meetings in the headquarters and sat with the chairman of the party over the years, and they're pro-aborts and pro-homosexual, and they despise conservative Christianity, biblical Christianity. They despise it.
Yeah.
And so Christians have been duped for all these years, and the evidence is always right there. It's always right there.
Yeah, now, there's a reason Steve Curtis quit. Or left the Republican.
Well, he served his term.
The machine, the Republican. Yeah. But he didn't have to leave the machine.
No,
right?
But now he's a recovering Republican.
So he's out there actually doing good.
Yeah.
Instead of participating in a contest every year or two.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Now, Bob, I want to get to this story out of San Francisco.
Yeah.
Apparently, the don't ask, don't tell policy is in the news this week.
Yeah, it is.
Everyone's encouraging Barry Ho to, you know, end that. Well, from the Associated Press, is reporting that women are far more likely than men to be kicked out of the military under the don't ask, don't tell policy. Women, you know, regarding homos in uniform.
Women are more likely than men. You know, I bet we can figure out why that is.
Yeah.
And I bet they don't know, but
okay, well, let me tell you. Lesbians and bisexual women are far more likely than male homosexuals to be kicked out of the military under the don't ask, don't tell policy. That's according to government figures that have been released.
According to government
figures. Yeah, government figures that have just...
What figures? Shadowy figures? Figures in smoke-filled back rooms? Dark figures? What figures? I want to... Oh, you mean numbers.
Numbers, Bob. Sorry. I'm talking numbers.
I thought you meant shadowy figures.
Nope.
All right, well, I bet we can figure out why this is happening.
And well, now, critics say that the disparity reflects a deep-seated sexism in the armed forces.
No, it doesn't.
You don't.
That's not why more women are getting kicked out than male homosexuals because of don't ask, don't tell. Not because of deep-seated sexism, but go ahead.
Okay, can I get to the figures? Women account for about 15% of active duty members. But more than one third of the 600 or so people kicked out last year were women.
Okay.
So those are the figures I'm talking.
And they say it's even worse. I mean, the disparity is even greater in the Air Force.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I don't want to say anything about that. But yeah.
Well, and that's because of the tailhook syndrome.
The tailhook syndrome.
Yeah, you remember that?
I remember tailhook. Yeah.
Well, and basically, women. You know, there's a greater stigma against male homosexuality than there is against lesbianism.
Yeah, even to this day.
In the culture.
Yeah, generally, yeah.
Right? There's massive marketing to men of bisexual women, lesbian women.
Right.
Mainstream. It's in the marketing of video games and movies.
GoDaddyGot.com.
All of that. It's intense.
Yeah.
Bisexual. And with male homosexuality, that's not the case.
No, because it's just gross. It doesn't really move
it makes
product.
Right. And there is a reason for that. That's an observation. Well, there's a reason for that. And it's all sexually immoral and it's all wrong.
Right.
But that's why more women end up getting kicked out under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, because they're more open about it because it's more accepted.
Right. They tell
They tell, they brag.
Men hide more. They don't tell.
Men hide more because it's more the gross out factor.
There you go.
Makes you sick.
It's
it all makes you sick, but more so.